ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I'm going to read a verse from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, number 26.
Anye tvaivam majananta shrutvanebhya upasate tepi chattitaranteva mrityum shuti parayanaha. Anye,
others,
tu, but,
evam,
thus,
ajanantaha,
without spiritual knowledge, shutva,
by hearing,
anyebhya,
from others,
upasate,
begin to worship,
te,
they,
api,
also,
cha,
and,
atitaranti,
transcend,
eva,
certainly,
rityum,
the path of death,
shuti
parayanaha,
inclined to the process of hearing.
Translation: again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing because if the common man simply hears from the authoritative sources, he can progress, especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended. And this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. I particularly like this verse because it is it's a practical, it's something that we have practical experience of. In the Sankirtan movement, we don't know who is actually an innocent person until we meet them and talk to them a little bit. Oftentimes we're surprised because I have a prejudiced idea about who people are. I see someone and my mind tells me that this person is qualified, unqualified, rich, poor. And when one performs the Sankirtan process as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is described in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers went everywhere. They didn't consider what was a fit place or an unfit place. And they didn't care. They didn't consider who was a fit or unfit candidate. They indiscriminately distributed the fruits of love of Godhead everywhere. And when we do that also, we find something remarkable, and that is the only remarkable thing in this world, which is the soul and the super soul. That's to be discovered through the process of Sankirtan. When we chant ourselves, we begin to uncover the various ways in which we're obscured from seeing our very self, and also from seeing Krishna, who's right there next to us all the time. And when we go out to spread Krishna consciousness, we also see within each living being the potential that living entities are actually part and parcel of Krishna, and they're seeking Krishna, although they don't know it. They're looking in various places. So the two activities are important for advancing in Krishna consciousness. One is to hear and chant in a very regulated way. Regulated means that one has a quota to complete every day of hearing and chanting. For instance, there's the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra in the form of japa and listens very carefully, then one will hear a sound that is unlike any other sound in this universe, in this covered universe. And when one hears that sound, one becomes fascinated. And when we take that same vibration outside and we broadcast it to the public, we can see in the faces of others that they're mystified by it also. For instance, if one goes to a public place and in a very organized manner sets up a venue to chant, in which to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you pick a meditative tune so that people can hear the mantra at a pace that is not too fast or too slow, then you'll notice that when people come by and hear the mantra, it awakens their spiritual sense. And there's practically no more edifying experience for a sadhaka to see the look on the faces of those who are unfamiliar with Krishna consciousness, who come in contact with the holy name for the first time. And because living entities are very subtle, we can understand by looking at the countenances of others what they're thinking to some degree. And we can see in their eyes and their face the way in which they become captivated by hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Oftentimes, also when distributing books, we'll notice that people being fascinated by the book, maybe they'll look at the cover and they just wonder what's in it, because living entities have this chit shakti. They're part of Krishna, and Krishna has the chit shakti, so we also have this potency for knowledge and a great desire to learn. So that's why books are so popular. Books, magazines, newspapers, everything readable. And oftentimes when distributing a book, I'll see that a person then sits down and begins reading the book. And to me, that's one of the most exciting experiences, to see someone who trusted a devotee and then took the book and then sits down in a park bench. I used to work in the airports for many years. I grew up in an airport. And oftentimes people would purchase a book from us and then sit down and they'd read the book. And several times I had the opportunity, I couldn't help myself, I'd sneak behind them just to see what they were reading. And through their eyes I was experiencing again for the first time what I experienced when I picked up one of Prabhupada's books. I first got a Back to Godhead magazine. And the articles in it really glowed in my mind and heart. I'd been reading other books of philosophy that were tinged with impersonalism, But when I got Prabhupada's books and he spoke very directly about God being a person, I was startled, actually, because no one really comes out and says that. And there are actually pictures of the Supreme Personality of God. No one had ever done that before. They would say that these are manifestations temporary manifestations of Brahman through the modes of material nature, but then say, this is God, everything comes from him. But one thing that caught my eye in the first Back to Godhead magazine I got was an advertisement for Easy Journey to Other Planets. That caught my attention. Because I was in high school at the time, and I thought, that's a good idea. Maybe go to another planet. And I believed in such things, that it's possible to transport oneself through some mystic process. That caught my attention. And then I saw an advertisement for Sri Ishapanishad. I could see, it was a small ad, but it had a picture of the cover of the book with Mahavishnu standing in the Karna ocean. And it said, the ancient Vedas of India say that God is a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And my jaw dropped. I thought, somebody just came out and said it. God's a person. So I went to the bookstore called Shambhala Books in Berkeley. My mother took me there, and I told the person behind the desk, I want anything by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And they had Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ishapanishad, and On the Way to Krishna. And they took those books home and began to read them. And then I could understand what Bhagavad Gita was really about. And the Sri Ishapanishad was an experience where I noticed after I'd finished reading it that I felt well on my path to self-realization just from imbibing those two books. And so, knowing my own experience and what a thrill it was, after being in the material world since time immemorial, to actually come in contact with Krishna again. And also there's a feeling that somebody arranged this for me. Why did they do it? It's not out of profit. You know, sometimes you fly in the airlines and they come around, they're very nice, they say, here's your napkin, here's a little glass of water, you know, hope you enjoy it, please fly with us again. They're paid to do that. I mean, of course, they're nice and everything, there's service attitude in every living entity, but when somebody does service for you out of compassion, out of love, the experience is moving. One feels that, why did this person do this? Just out of the goodness of their heart, they wanted to help me. And then one feels a debt. I want to repay whoever did this. All these emotions come up when one comes in contact with a transcendental literature or meets a well-organized Sankirtan party where devotees are chanting. Why are they doing that? There's no material profit in it. But they're doing it because it is good for living entities, and they know it, and they're trying to do good for others. So this is the real occupation of the living entity, is to try to do good for others. And then to know how to do good for others. There's a verse that is spoken in the context of Lord Shiva in the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean. You know that the demigods and demons came together with an armistice, which means that they knew if they worked together for a time, even though they hate each other, they could get something that was mutually beneficial, right? What did they get? What were they after? Samriddhi? Yeah. And what did they have to do to get it? Yeah, they churned the mountain in the big ocean. And was it easy? And what's the first thing they got?
Poison.
Poison, yeah. That happens a lot when you start something with a great endeavor and then poison comes out. And to glorify his devotee, Lord Vishnu recommended that they go to Lord Shiva. And all the demigods and demons went to Lord Shiva and said, please save us, or the universe is going to be poisoned. So Lord Shiva swallowed that ocean of poison. He held it in his throat. That's why he's called Nilakanta. His throat turned blue because of the poison. And there Shukadeva Goswami glorifies Lord Shiva. He glorifies the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the best of the Vaishnavas. And he says, Tapyante Lukatapena Sarva Prayasojana Parama Araranam Tadi Purushasya Akilatmana. He says that the highest way to worship Lord Vishnu, who's within everyone's heart, is to perform some austerity for the sake of elevating others to Krishna consciousness. That's the highest form of worship of the Lord. In fact, Jiva Goswami says that unless you have this element in the process of your worship, and that is taking some austerity to help others come to Krishna consciousness, then whatever other worship that you're doing is like performing a fire sacrifice, only there's no fire. You're just pouring ghee onto ashes. It says it in the Bhagavatam, and Jiva Goswami also gives this comment in several places in his commentaries. So this impetus to help others is the foundation of the Krishna consciousness movement. And no one knows it better than the first member of the Krishna Consciousness Society, who's still alive in New York City. Do you know who that is? Anybody? You can go visit him. He's in New York. Anybody been to New York? Yes? Where did you go? 26 Second Avenue. Where else did you go? Thompson Square Park. Did you go to Thompson Square Park?
Yes.
Did you meet the first member of the Christian Consciousness Movement in New York?
Yes.
The tree. I wonder what he thinks. He's still there, the longest standing member of the Christian Consciousness Movement.
The steadiest, too.
The steadiest. Never fallen down. And he was there. Prabhupada sat right underneath him, and he gave Prabhupada shelter with shade, and it was a respectable place to sit for a sadhu under a tree, and he just chanted, and then he attracted people's attention. And wherever one goes with this sincere desire to help others and makes the vibration, and there's several ways to make the vibration. One is by chanting Hare Krishna. The other is by printing books. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the Harinam Sankirtan can be heard for a few blocks. Of course, nowadays, because people have cell phones and they come by and they hold them up and they film you live on Facebook, you can be seen around the world also. Last night, the devotees at ISV had a Harinam Sankirtan downtown San Francisco, and I looked this morning and it had 30,000 views. And I also noticed that the devotees in Denver, Colorado, Ananda Murari and such, were going around doing Harinam in a very interesting way. They call it Gauranga bombing, where they go up to people and say, can you say Gauranga? And people say, Gauranga. And they go, Gauranga, Nityananda, go. That's got over 5 million views. So 5 million people. Denver, yeah. It's a small town, Denver. I don't know if it has 5 million people in it, but so there's the Harinam Sankirtan. This can be arranged. And the more you plan for how to make it appealing to the people that you're chanting for, the more successful it will be. You have to consider the frame of reference of the people you're chanting for. And if you arrange things in an attractive way and give people a way where they feel welcome to join in the chanting, and you also have ways in which to capture them when they come, that is, to find out who they are and give them ways that they can connect, then the more ecstatic the Harinam becomes. The second way, by printing books, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, is the Brihat Madanga, it's the greater Madanga. Because when you print the books, then distribute them, then they go all around the world. Prabhupada gave an example once when he was talking about he said Harinam and book distribution are the same, but of the two, the book distribution is called Brihat. It's bigger. And then he said, there is some devotees distributing books in Washington, D.C., and they met the son and daughter of the then president of the United States. And they took a book. And they took it into the White House. And he said, so see, the transcendental vibration went in the White House, but we couldn't take our Harinam Sankirtan in the White House. At least not yet until Tulsi Gabbard is elected president. And so these two ways complement each other. When you have Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution together, then those who are distributing books feel enlivened, they feel protected by the holy name, and people who are walking around feel they are imperceptibly liberated. They're being liberated by the holy name, they don't even know it. I was in Mexico recently, Guanajuato, and we went out and had a Harinam and book distribution together in a big, huge plaza. So the devotees were chanting, and we were distributing books. And then they stopped chanting. And immediately I noticed the difference. I could see that the people were not as favorable. Of course, in Mexico, everybody's favorable. But still, I felt separation from that sound vibration. So, as a community, coming together and brainstorming ways in which you can use all of your skills. And in this room, I guarantee you, you have some of the most skilled people on the planet. Because the backgrounds you all come from are extremely elevated when it comes to education, when it comes to IQ, when it comes to success on all levels. And so when a group like this gets together and just talks about ways in which to organize the book distribution and the Harinam Sankirtan together, and then you incrementally improve it every time that you come together, you can create an empire. You can actually impact the state of Virginia in ways that nobody else can. In fact, I would go as far as to say is that the reason that you're here is that Lord Chaitanya put you here for that purpose. Otherwise, why would you be in Virginia? You're from India. And did you plan on coming to Virginia in the beginning of your career? No. But Lord Chaitanya put you here. And he also gave you a mandate, and that is that he said, feel free to dedicate yourselves to spreading the Sankirtan movement all over the world. And so it's a very practical matter that when a community comes together for this purpose, they organize and they work together as a team, then everyone becomes more advanced spiritually and everyone gets more impetus to hear and chant. When we first started our team of book distributors at ISV, which means ISKCON of Silicon Valley, this is an interesting phenomena that happens in most ISKCON temples around the world. Do we have a technician? One of the best investments one can make is very high-tech, top-of-the-line microphone stand. The best microphone stands I've seen in the ISKCON movement are in Houston, Texas. They not only built a new temple there, but they also bought the best microphone stands that money can buy. That's not going to work. You have to reinvent the wheel here. It has to go sideways, otherwise. That's another thing that's always been on my list in managing a Sankirtan movement, is getting good stuff. Whenever you have a choice to buy things for the temple and for improving Sankirtan, always buy the best thing. You'll ultimately save money in the long run, right? You save money in the long run, you buy the best thing, get the best kind of equipment, always get the tools you need. Because there are various kinds of tools that you can discover to increase your effectiveness for Sankirtan. And If you come together after each time you perform the yajna, and you discuss amongst yourselves, you can make a list of all the ways in which there were gaps. And in fact, whenever we perform a Sankirtan yajna, then that is typically when I go to a community, especially when we're starting what we call the monthly Sankirtan festival, it's an organized way in which everybody in the whole region comes together at least once a month for a day or two of going out for Harinam Sankirtan book distribution, prasadam distribution, in a coordinated way. Then during the yajna, we have somebody taking notes, or everybody who's involved taking notes, but one primary person who's very responsible, and watching to see where there's gaps. Just like in any corporation, there's a quality control manager who looks and sees where there's mistakes. Anybody in here do anything like that? Do you fix stuff? You don't fix things? You do. You've done that, right? Yeah, so you have to be vigilant and see where, and then once you identify it, write it down, then you can fix it later, right? And there's a system called ABS, Always Better Service. And that is that you look and find out where the gaps are in your own sadhana and also in the team effort. And you write them down, and then you make a plan to make at least 3 improvements every month. And when you do that, over the course of a year, you'll see growth in the yatra, because there's a paradigm in management that when a group sees that things are getting better, then they do more than they have to, because they feel like they're in a winning team and the momentum is upwards. If they see that things are staying the same, they do just what they have to. Everyone's status quo. And when they see that things are getting worse, then they quit. And Prabhupada told one of his early managers that some of the secrets of management. So one of them was, he said, you have to create an environment in which the devotees want to do service, and that service should be individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Everybody repeat. Individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Say it again. Not a lot of people know, but our temple, ISV, that's what it stands for. Externally, legally, it's kind of Silicon Valley, but actually our intention is to follow that paradigm, individual, spontaneous, and voluntary service, to create an environment like that. And then he also said that as a manager, you have to create a fresh challenge for the community so that everyone will want to rise up and beat it. And then you have growth and you have excitement in your community and you have a reason for getting together to brainstorm, you know, how to make things better. So along with intensive hearing and chanting, which is the mainstay of the Sankirtan movement, the second half is this regular going out to give Krishna consciousness to innocent people. And we just go around and find people. And there's a way to do that. Oftentimes people think about going out on book distribution that it might be scary or hard, but when we learn a little bit about ways in which to approach people, how to communicate, what to expect when you get out there, I notice that people, devotees, are far less timid in going out. Oftentimes when we hold a Sankirtan festival, there'll be this many devotees in the room. How many are in here, do you think? 100? How many do you think?
70.
Give us an estimate. He'll be our official estimate. Stand up and look and see. This will be your job from now on. 66. He's good. He's really good. You're hired. Right, wrong, but never in doubt. Okay, so when you have a group like this, and if you just say, let's go out on Sankirtan, then a lot of the people in the room will then remember that their mother is calling them to make them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They forgot to polish their cricket shoes, and they have to go home, and things like that. It's so easy to miss the opportunity of going out into the great unknown and take the risk of walking out the door. And the hardest part of Sankirtan and book distribution is just walking out the door. Because the rest of it's easy. Once you commit and you go out and you say, okay, whatever happens, then you have to turn off your brain and say, look, I signed up for this. I believe in Lord Chaitanya. He said to do it. He did it. I'm just going to do it. And whatever happens, happens. And then you get empowered. The point is, when you hear about a service and you don't know how to do it, but you do it anyway, that's where empowerment happens. That's when you actually get something. Because Prabhupada didn't know how he was going to spread the Sankirtan movement. Of course, he had a lot of ideas, a lot of impetus, but he didn't know what to expect. He just got on the Jaladuta and went, because it was the right thing to do. So everyone can catch the Jaladuta. You can do it every day. Your Jaladuta doesn't have to be as big as Prabhupada's, but you should have a Jaladuta to catch. And when you form a Sankirtan team, and at least once a month, you have the opportunity for everybody to go out, to cross the threshold. That's the hard part. You don't have to distribute any books. You don't have to do anything, but you do have to cross the threshold to get that benefit. Walk out the door. It's warm inside. It's cold out there. You know what to expect inside. You don't know what to expect outside. But you go anyway. And once you go out, then the mercy starts to flow. You get empowerment. You get vision. You get the kind of impetus to chant that you never had before and to read. It's all out there in the greater world. So we say that book distribution is high sadhana. And the hearing and chanting that you all do here and the book distribution to go together, just like they have at the hardware store, they used to when I was a kid, they had epoxy glue. Anybody here fix stuff? Not bugs and computers, but you ever fix any? There's glue, right? Epoxy, you know epoxy? There used to be two tubes. As the two of them go together, you have to put both of them, and then they bond, and then the bond won't break. So there's hearing and chanting, and then there's this going out into the great unknown world to give Krishna consciousness to others. And when you put those two together, then you get a very strong bond to Lord Chaitanya. So it's something that Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. He mentions that teaching Gita to others is the most pleasing activity to him. That's also a clue that it's a very satisfying service because it's so dear to Krishna. Those are just a few thoughts, and now I'll take some reflections. Anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. Is there any way to get a little more air in here or turn the temperature down just slightly? It's better to be on the edge of cold than too hot. Yes. Reflections. Go ahead. Diana?
I wanted to share experience about book distribution because usually we distribute books in the subway, New York City. And once I approached one gentleman, right, and I was thinking that something wrong with him, right, but too serious, right. And then I started telling him about books. And when I asked for donations, they said, like, you know, we should be working here. What they can do right from here. And finally, he gave me like $1. I gave him a small book, Bhakti Yoga. And I just walk away, right? And then one month he said, probably they cops, you know, under the cover. And I'm a little bit scared because we're not supposed to approach them. But well, the next week, after he actually said, and he started reading this book, right? And on the next week, he approached me himself, and he asked for another book. He said, oh, no, it was really interesting. One more book, and I want to give him Bhagavad Gita. Just gonna to be for me, you know, give me something. Because you never know who you approach, right? Even we're not supposed to judge, right, any people. So I feel confident.
Yes. So these are kinds of experiences that Lord Chaitanya also had. When he traveled everywhere, he came out of Vrindavan and he was traveling with several of his associates, and he heard a sound of a flute that reminded him of Vrindavan, and then he fainted in ecstasy. And his associates were standing around him just as some Pathan Muslim soldiers came up, and they accused Lord Chaitanya's followers of giving him poison and taking away all his gold. And as they were arguing with the soldiers, then Lord Chaitanya came back to his full consciousness. And then he engaged in a discussion with these soldiers who were on horseback, and they got down and they talked to him. And they were so impressed with him that they surrendered. And several of them took initiation. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that this was the prerogative of Lord Chaitanya, and this is the method of the Sankirtan movement, that we go here, there, and everywhere. And we meet people, just as is mentioned in this verse, who are submissive to hearing. And we give them an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And so this, Prabhupada says, this line of Pathan Muslims, they still follow Lord Chaitanya to this day. What else? Reflections means anything that you heard that stuck. Yes? Here comes the mic. Hare Krishna.
Two things. One, the presentation or any kind of service have a good presentation, so that would be good. You know, like if we are out doing book distribution or if we are doing a program at home, I think having a good presentation is important. Second thing you said about the ABF, always the best service. And then taking the rest, like we learn that even in our work life, like we have to take risks. And then you take the risk and you get good results, you get empowerment. So the same principle applies here as well for book distribution, writing, Sankirtan, and everything. And the last thing is the thing that you mentioned about hearing and chanting and book distribution is like a glue together, and it's born with the Lord.
Yeah. You know what else it's like? It's like rice and dal. Rice is a very good food, and dal is a very good food, but when you put the two together, it becomes a superfood. According to Jamuna's cookbook called Lord Krishna's Cuisine, there's a whole section on rice. Did you know that? Who said yeah? You studied that, right? You study that. You can study that cookbook. And there she says, when you mix rice and dal together, you get 42% more nutrition. So when you mix this hearing and chanting with the Sankirtan, it's not that you have to go out every day, but at least once a month, then you get super sadhana. And also, with filling these gaps, I'll show you something that we invented recently. Well, it's not recent, but we just formalized it. For years I've been doing this. At the airport, I used to meet people all the time from other countries. And then we'd give paper bags to people to carry the books away. So I'd meet people from other countries that didn't speak English. And then I realized the necessity for having this the script written in their language. So I'd meet somebody who was bilingual, and I'd say, can you write these following things for me? So I'd learn different ways in which to say things in other languages. And then also we could just show it to them, hand them the book in their language, and then show them the card. So as an example, this is one in Arabic. And on the card, on one side, it just has the Arabic script. And then the other side, it has how to pronounce it. Does anybody speak Arabic? Oh, good, I can say it whatever way I want. Marhaba hazihi marifat kedimat min al-hanib laufan taraho shukran. Hello, this is an ancient knowledge from India. Kindly donate, thank you. And it has the word for word, just like in a shloka. But all you have to do is see this card? It's got the Arabic script on it. Here, you verify. Right? It's verified. So all you have to do is, if you get Arabic books, and say you meet somebody who speaks Arabic, you give them the Arabic book and then you hand them this card. We're making a language card for every language that Prabhupada's books are in. And you can take these with you to areas where people speak different languages. I'm just giving one example, because oftentimes devotees will go out on Sankirtan and they'll meet somebody that speaks a different language and they don't know how to accommodate it. So they just pass on that person. But another way to look at it is always better service. Like, how can we bridge that gap? You do this all the time, right? As professionals. Don't you bridge gaps? That's how Apple gets from a dusty garage to the largest corporation in the world. They used to get together regularly at Pajaro Dunes in near San Francisco, and they means the original pioneering crew of Apple, they would brainstorm together and say, how to make this place better? How to make a better product? Just human beings together talking. And when you come together as a community and you talk in this way, you can create a Sankirtan empire. And when you do that, you get noticed by Lord Chaitanya. You put Virginia on the map in a big way by just working teamwork together and find whatever gaps there are, and you discuss among yourselves, and you'll find everyone has something to contribute. I told you upstairs, Prabhupada told us in 1973, we were in a party called the BBT party. We were asked to go from place to place, state to state, temple to temple, and train people how to do devotees how to do book distribution. Prabhupada wanted that. And so we asked Prabhupada, how should we teach them? What things should we teach them? And one of the things Prabhupada says, he said, teach them to be sincere. He said, if they're sincere, and then he pointed with his hand, he said, then the master within their heart will show them how to do it. And so when we get together, like in a group like this, let's just say that all of us went out together on book distribution today. Everyone in this room, we all went out. Like for 2 hours. And then we came back, and we're all sitting here. Everyone would have something to contribute. Everybody in this room, we'd go around, we'd pass the microphone, and everyone would have some realization about what happened. Some would say, I wasn't planning on going out. I was planning to go home and make my mother a peanut butter and jelly sandwich instead of going out. But I decided to go anyway because my friend was going, and it was changed my life. And someone else would say, I met this person, and they weren't going to take, and then they changed their mind, and they came back, and they took it anyway. And there would be so many stories and realizations. And then we'd come to the point where we talk about places where we can make improvements. We make a list. And everyone has, there would be many contributions. And then when we brainstorm for how to fill those gaps, you'd hear from a lot of people. Hamsika, she would give advice, I guarantee you. And there would be others that you didn't know were sitting somewhere in the room that, oh, they have a good idea. And they contribute to the whole. And you write those down, you form different positions, people that have, they're empowered to take care of different things. Like you're now empowered to take inventory and also to examine the language cards. That's your growing service. And everybody's service grows in Sankirtan. Just like politicians always say, if I'm elected, I guarantee jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what they always say. But when you start a Sankirtan party, that's when you really get jobs. Everyone gets some empowered service in the Sankirtan movement. I saw in Mumbai, there's one devotee. He's a very elevated devotee, a Narottam Priya. You can look at him and you can see this person comes from a Brahminical family. He's highly educated, very successful in the world. He joined the Krishna Conscious Movement because he wanted some excitement. And then he was managing the restaurant in Mumbai and some other services, some financial things, because he used to be in financial services, banking and things like that. And he said he felt bored. He said, I joined this movement for some excitement. And then he read some things. Actually, I wrote a book. It's called Our Family Business. And in that, he read that book, and in the book, he heard about this organizing Sankirtan teams, and he said, this sounds exciting, going out into the great unknown. So right there in Juhu, he started his own party, and there's so many thousands of devotees there. So he, in just organizing one little part of Juhu, he got 50 families that are going out. And one of the things he told me was the women became very empowered. Because oftentimes, especially in India, women don't get as much service. You could do garlands or something like that. But as far as, you know, front-level services, like you can get in America more, you don't get so much. But there, he said, they're on the front lines. They go out to distribute books, which Prabhupada very much encouraged. He always encouraged the women to go out and do book distribution. And he said that that when they asked him, he said, how are we chased? We go out and we're talking to people and everything. And Prabhupada said, you should be like a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. I talked to the women there, and they're very empowered. They're out there distributing books on the front lines. And then the children, I was just talking about it upstairs, they get empowered too to take a stake in the book distribution. They have their own teams even. And they become very expert at selling full sets of books, door to door, going out and meeting people, and showing Bhagavad Gita and learning how to sell it. And everybody in the community has some kind of empowered activity that they're doing when there's Sankirtan. What else? Yes?
So, for you. You were talking about the main challenge is to walk out the door. So what you said was really true. From my personal experience, quite a few times I have felt like, oh, should I like just go out today? But when I just pushed that thought aside and bent ahead and went out the door and went for a Sankirtan or a book distribution, the experience, the reciprocation that comes from Krishna during that day was something beyond my expectations. It's so easier to touch the hearts of people and share Krishna consciousness with others. But I think back and say, if I had just stayed home, I would have missed all these wonderful opportunities.
That wasn't prearranged. We didn't talk about that. It's just true. And when I say the hardest thing is getting out the door, to be very realistic about it, the hardest part of a Sankirtan party is troop movement. Just like in the military, moving the troops from one point to another, that's the challenge. Shooting the weapons off is a lot less challenging. The actual fight itself, there are some technical challenges that's there, but those aren't so hard as moving all the tanks and the men. And they have to set up halfway points where everyone can stop and be clothed and fed, just like on yatras. You see how the Chaupati Yatra, anybody go on that? They have like 7,000 devotees that go on yatra. And if you go there, they've learned over time, through growing, they started with a few dozen people, and then hundreds, and then thousands. But they've learned how to set up a city in one place. They have a doctor's office, they have a cooking tent, and everything like that. And so Sankirtan, same thing. It's behind the scenes how the organizers make sure that everyone can comfortably go out and there's not some mass confusion when you go out the door. Whose car are we going in? Yeah, but his car's not here right now. It's in the shop. And, you know, who's got the keys to the other car? All those things, if they're dealt with behind the scenes ahead of time, so everyone can go out smoothly and experience for themselves the sublimity of just being out in the world and meeting people, then there's a wonderful experience. So that takes a little bit of organization, which is altogether doable. And then you can cross the threshold and be out there in the great unknown. That's exciting. Otherwise, life's boring. It's too predictable. What do you think? Yeah. What else? Question. Okay. We'll take a question.
Children, like teenagers, right? And they have money from their parents, right? And sometimes they purchase a book, and then after a couple minutes, after hour, right, when the parents are not around, they just come to us and they complain that, you know, like, why you sell this book to my kid? You know, I gave you money, not for this, not doing this. And is there a particular age of children, teenagers?
16 and a half. Check their ID. They're 16 and a half, they should be able to handle it. But before that, be a little careful.
Oh, we have to see it as an opportunity to preach to parents too. But they're kind of angry sometimes.
Yeah, they don't appreciate it so much. So it's better to err on the side of being conservative when it comes to that. Doesn't happen that often anyway, does it? So. Yes?
We read from the verse that taking shelter of a pure devotee and following his first steps, we can become a pure devotee. And that you mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arranged this for us to be here to contemplate in Sankirtan. I want that scripture to be easy. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, and this principle of following is the process through which anyone can advance very rapidly in devotional service. As mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Bejire Muneo Tagre, Bhagavantam Adhoksajam, Sakvam Bishuram Shemaya, Kalpanteye Nutaniha. Previously, all the great sages worshipped Lord Vishnu because they knew by worshipping Lord Vishnu they could attain the highest benefit in life. Anyone who follows the same method that those sages followed will get the same result. They're eligible for the same result. And you don't have to be a great sage or acharya, but if you follow in the footsteps of the sages and acharyas to the best of your ability, with whatever facility you have right now, then you're eligible for the same result that they got. This is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam later on, where it is said that this is the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb. And they mention that just by following the previous acharyas, that's like a boat. The process that the previous acharyas conceive of is a boat. And the process is so powerful that even as you approach it, then the ocean shrinks, gets smaller, and you can actually step over it. Because the system of following in the footsteps of the acharyas and pure devotees is so powerful that you don't have to be a pure devotee, but when you follow the pure devotees, you're counted as one of the pure devotees. Just like if you get on a sports team, even if you're not that good, and you have to sit on the bench because they're not going to let you play. Anybody ever have that happen? I was once on a Little League team baseball, and I was too young for the team, and I didn't play that much. But they won the championship that year, and I still got the ring. So when you join Lord Chaitanya's team, you can be the most insignificant person and inept in many different ways. But if you have this quality of, I'm following in the footsteps of the acharyas, I'm following the system to the best of my ability, even though I'm lame, then you still win. You're counted as on the winning team. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, the great scholar and pure devotee who wrote the commentary, translated Sanat Goswami's commentary to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, did the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and Tattva Sandarbha and many other books. He was a wonderful devotee. But he used to say, it's not what you know, but who you know and what you are. It's not what you know, but who you know that's more important in Krishna consciousness. Because if you have connections by being a faithful follower, then Krishna just lets you in. Just like if you go to a big place, like there's some VIPs inside, and you're a nobody, so they're checking to see who they're letting in. There's a list. So you may not even be on the list. But if you're with somebody who's a big shot, and they just say, oh, he's with me, then they go, okay, go ahead. You just go in. So it's the same principle that if you follow pure devotee, you're in that group, then you're admitted because you're a faithful follower. Even if you're not that good at it, if you're sincere and you try to follow pure devotees, Krishna will accept you. Say, okay, he's in my group. We'll take him. So this is, last night we had a gathering at Loka and Vidarbha's house in Germantown. And we talked a lot about Bhagavad Gita and the importance of Bhagavad Gita last night. Because I was just thinking about how important the book is itself. It's been preserved. Many of the chapters of the Mahabharata have been interpolated. You'll find a different version in South India that you do in North India in various sections because of interpolation. But the Bhagavad Gita as a section of the Mahabharata has never changed. It's the same as it ever was because it's been carefully guarded by acharyas over many years. They've all given commentary on it and they've preserved it very carefully. And Rupa Goswami writes in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that this book is the most important because it is spoken directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And therefore you derive the highest benefit in life by hearing Bhagavad Gita. And when you distribute Bhagavad Gita and people get that book, they're able to come in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was one of Prabhupada's great missions, was to spread the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as they are to people all over the world. So Gita Jayanti is coming up, and it is a point in time that one can look at and build towards to perform some yajna, that is by distributing Bhagavad Gitas. So one of the ways in which devotees all over the world contribute to this effort on Gita Jayanti is by donating for a certain number of Bhagavad Gitas. And is especially potent when there's a trusted means of those books being distributed. In the past, we've had Gita Jayantis in places around the world, and devotees have come forward and donated large amounts of money, and then the cases were given to those people, and they took and put them in their garage, and they're still sitting there. And then the next year, when they say, okay, let's do Gita Jayanti, everyone says, I still have the ones from last year. We've changed that considerably. For instance, we now have a system in place, a whole program that's been going on for several years now called Motel Gita. And Motel Gita to date has distributed 500,000 Bhagavad Gitas. I was there, it started at ISV, and Mayapur Vihari Prabhu came up to me while I was chanting japa one day, and he said, I have an idea. I'd like to put Bhagavad Gitas in all the motels in America. I said, please go for it right away. So he and his dear friend Dilip Bhai, who's a motelier, started networking, and one thing led to another, and now it's a national, North American big success story. So now there's an unlimited appetite for Gitas going out to motels. And people are not only reading them, but they're asking if they can take the Bhagavad Gita home with them. We have dozens, hundreds, thousands of stories of people who are getting the books, reading them, and becoming purified. And there's also, we have outlets all over North America where devotees are distributing the Bhagavad Gitas one-to-one to people. That's their main occupation in life, going out and meeting people on campuses and other places and distributing Bhagavad Gita. So whatever Bhagavad Gitas were donated last night, and there were a few of them, we were able to sponsor 1,255. How many?
1,255.
1,512 Bhagavad Gitas were sponsored last night at Lokan Vidarbha's house within about 10 minutes. And those Bhagavad Gitas are already spoken for. In other words, they're already distributed. They haven't physically gone out yet, but we know where they're going to go. They'll be out there fast. So it's like a big fire pit, the Sankirtan Yajna. And the more you put into the fire pit, the more auspicious your life becomes. And the trick is, in life, to give away your possessions to the yajna faster than the material nature can take them away from you. Because here's how the equation works. If whatever you're holding on to gets taken from you by the course of time, is that possible? Then you don't get any credit at all. In fact, people look at it and you go, oh, too bad. But if you preemptively give it away to the yajna, you put it in the yajna pit, then you get full credit. So it's a race with time to give away what you have for Krishna, because it's going to be taken away anyway. So I learned that once when I was in Vrindavan and I just had arrived because I spend the Kartik at Govardhan Hill. And so I was there the first day and I walked down from the ashram to Radhakund. And I put on my gumsha and I left my clothes on the bank of Radhakund and I went in and took my shnan and I got out and all my clothes were gone. And when India, when something's gone, it's gone. We interviewed everybody to see what might have happened to them. I asked the monkeys, and they had no idea. I looked around, and they were nowhere to be found. So I walked home about 6 miles in my gumsha, and I just pretended like I was a sadhu. And then, it was the first day I was at the ashram. I stayed there 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, my habit was, at the end, I would give a donation to the ashram. But this time, when I got back, I immediately gave the donation. Why did I do that? I was acutely aware of the fact that anything can go away at any time. And I've tried to maintain that because I have this slight awareness that anything can be taken away at any time, and it can. But if you give it away first, which reminds me of a joke I once heard. There was two guys walking down the street in New York City. They were friends. And then a gunman jumps out, and he held up his gun, and he said, okay, you guys, give me all your money right now, or you die. So one of the friends said to the gunman, no problem, fine, I'll cooperate, but just 1 second. He turned to his friend, and he said, Larry, here's that $20 I owe you. So material nature will approach you at some point and ask you to hand it over. And if you have to, if you're coerced into giving it in that way, no credit. But when you voluntarily put it into Bhagavad Gitas, then you get eternal credit. What to speak of the people who get the Bhagavad Gita, it's you get residual spiritual effects for the rest of your life. So the cases of Bhagavad Gitas are 108 for one case, and there's 24 Bhagavad Gita's in a case. So these are like little bombs. Prabhupada said that each one of the temples is a center from which we go out to fight Maya. And he said, fight Maya means to go out and drop hundreds of thousands of books into the laps of the conditioned souls. And so when you think of one of these cases in military terms, nowadays people are worried about, rightfully so, weapons of mass destruction. But we have weapons of mass instruction. And this is Lord Chaitanya's benevolent movement to rain down into the world the authorized scriptures so that human beings can take advantage of them, just like as we read in this verse. And people will pick them up. And if it's not meant for the person who gets it, it's meant for his friend or somebody else who they pass it on to. So Loka is willing to help facilitate anybody who wants to also participate in the yajna to any degree. Last night, some of the devotees volunteered, and they just spontaneously wanted to donate to for a case or two. Some people even took five cases and things like that. So it's just something. When I asked Loka on the way over here if there was anything practical that he wanted me to talk about, he mentioned this, that he didn't want all of you to miss the opportunity to be part of the Gita Jayanti Yajna. And so I brought it up. Didn't I? I do what I'm told. So it's a real honor to be here. And I can see huge potential. Krishna has bequeathed to you an entire area of the most affluent country in the world, where people are arguably more receptive than any other place in the world. You're on the East Coast, where there's a lot of universities, and you're poised to become one of the great Sankirtan parties in North America and in the world. Because I can see a lot of talent here. I see young people who are very bright, very talented. I see a tight-knit community, very sincere people, and there's a lot of you. And with just a methodical approach, I think that you could turn this into a noticeable Sankirtan party that is something that attracts Lord Chaitanya's attention, famous for distributing the holy names and for distributing books. I know you're doing already. I'm just saying that through the methods we've seen employed in various places, that this could be one of the notable places, Virginia. What do you think? Do you agree? Say yes.
Yes.
Thanks. Do you have cases of books, or are they all sold out now?
No, we have cases.
You have Bhagavad Gita's. You no need to print more. No need to go get paper from a paper mill and print them. Is that true? It's available?
Yes, it is.
And are they all boxed up? We don't have to box them ourselves if we sponsor them? And do the people have to take physical possession of the book, or they have a choice? They can take physical possession of the cases, or you can designate them to be distributed to others. I was just thinking how previously, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, when he found the Brahma Samhita, he had it copied by hand. There were scribes there that would copy books. And Mukunda Datta Prabhu told us, he's an expert on the subject, that many of them were illiterate. They didn't know how to read, they just knew how to copy. And they copied on these palm leaves. They had a stylus, they had to press it on there. How long do you think that, what's your name?
Thea.
Thea?
Dia.
Dia. How do you spell that?
D-I-Y-A.
D-I-Y-A. What does that mean? Lamp. Dia. Is that Sanskrit or Hindi? D-I-Y-A? I thought it was Deepa.
It's a lamp.
It's what?
It's a synonym for Deepa. Oh,
I see. Okay, Dia. I learned something new. What question was I going to ask her? Oh. How long would it take to write the Brahma Samhita, or let's say the Bhagavad Gita? How long would it take to write it by hand? Copy it. Give an estimate. How many days?
A couple weeks.
Couple weeks. That's pretty fast. That's good, though. And so it's actually a miracle that we have printing press. The world changed when Gutenberg came up with movable type. He came up with a press called the Gutenberg Press, and the first thing he printed was Bibles. He was Protestant, and he wanted Bibles to go out to everybody so they could hear about God. And Christianity began spreading rapidly after that happened. And then the printing presses got more and more sophisticated, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noticed this. And that's why he installed in his flagship temple in Calcutta. Did you know that next, on the altar, part of the altar there, you can go there and look, is a printing press. You'll see the deities, and then you look at the next arch over, and you'll see that the printing press is installed there. Because he considered it a worshipable object, because it was the Brihat Madanga. So this printing of books is actually a recent development. And it's miraculous. We can take it for granted, but it's a big thing. So 24 books in a case at 3 weeks each?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks times 24. 48 weeks.
And plus 4 weeks of vacation.
And 4 weeks on vacation. And then the surgery for your carpal tunnel syndrome.
1 year.
1 year. For one case. So now they're 108. So anyway, we'll open the floor to Loka. You can say whatever you like, because Loka and Vidarbha have built a very powerful Sankirtan party. And if he says something, I'm sure it will be profound, profoundly moving for us all. Thank you very much. Gopremanande Haribol. Vanchukabdurvishcha kripasindabevicha patitanam pavanibyo vaishnavibyo namo.
Natari armarman.